You're listening to Valley Edition. East Porterville has been hit especially hard by the drought, and specifically the dropping water table beneath the ground. But as California farms and cities lean more and more on their aquifers, many are concerned that more and more wells will go dry across the state. This, of course, is not a new story. Huge portions of the San Joaquin Valley have actually dropped, physically dropped, due to the massive pumping of water from the ground that dates all the way back to the 1920s and continues to today. The question is, when will the taps run dry? That's the big concern of our next guest, UC Irvine Professor Jay Famiglietti. If his name sounds familiar, it's because he's about as close to a rock star as it gets in the world of California water. He's been featured in the film Last Call at the Oasis. He's got his own TED Talk online. And earlier this month, he was the subject of a major piece on the CBS television program 60 Minutes, documenting the dramatic loss in groundwater in both California and other hot spots around the globe. Jay Famiglietti joins us now on Valley Edition. Mr. Famiglietti, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Leslie Stahl opened her piece on 60 Minutes with one of the observations we've been talking about on this program for some time, that throughout much of the state, whether you're in cities or in farmland, if you looked around this past year, you wouldn't necessarily know we're in this massive drought, largely because we're tapping groundwater. Does that contribute to some of the concern that you have, that maybe people haven't fully grasped what's going on here?
Absolutely. People haven't grasped the severity of the situation. For example, down here in Southern California, we really only have about a year's worth of water left in storage in our reservoirs. But you know, when you look around some towns, they're incredibly green, and you know, the same is true in parts of the valley where we're just using tremendous amounts of water to keep our crops healthy.
Now, this is an issue we've known about for some time throughout the state. But you have some new technology now at your disposal that's capturing a different picture or more real-time picture of what's actually happening. How does your project with NASA work? And tell our listeners what you've been working on.
Sure. We use a satellite called GRACE, and GRACE stands for Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment. And in its simplest form, it functions like a scale in the sky. In that as it orbits around the Earth, it can literally weigh the regions of the world that are gaining or losing water on a monthly basis. So we can map out, say, across California and across the western U.S., these massive rates of water loss, almost half of which is groundwater, on a monthly basis. And the picture that it's painting is quite a dire one.
So how does this groundwater depletion that you're seeing in the last, say, 10 years or so, or maybe even less than that, how does it compare with what we've seen in the past in California?
Well, you know, it's the last 3 years that are quite a concern. And it's because of the drought, of course, but then also because of the reliance. You know, we have to rely, by definition, there's no snow, there's no snow melt, there's no rain, so we have to rely on groundwater. And we're really seeing, my gosh, a tremendous amount of groundwater depletion on the order of probably 6 to 7 million acre feet of water per year. That's about two trillion gallons of water per year for the last 3 years of groundwater disappearing from the Central Valley.
Now I want to turn to our other guest who joins us now on the telephone. We have Lois Henry of the Bakersfield, California. She is one of the top water watchdogs in Central California, always covering the water issues in Kern County and beyond for the Bakersfield, California. Lois, welcome.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very well. You have written in the Californian about the piece that aired on 60 Minutes that this is something we've known about in a long time but solutions are the big concern. What was your takeaway from the piece on 60 Minutes?
Well, you know, the satellite imagery is frightening, and Mr. Famiglietti also sent me another graphic animation that they hadn't put on 60 Minutes that was very specific to the Central Valley, and it's really frightening when you look at it. We have it online at bakersfield.com, and thanks for sending that to me because that was
sure.
I sent it to all the farmers and everybody I know, and they were all like replaying it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it shows exactly what he's saying is that our groundwater is going away, and you know, obviously subsidence and issues that happen after that. the subsidence is not just an issue for, by the way, they mentioned this on 60 Minutes, it's an issue for roads and bridges and stuff, but subsidence means our aquifers can't really be refilled ever to the point that they were before because the ground compacts and you can't, it's not like a sponge, it doesn't, you know, just refill and fill back up again, you know, it compacts and it may never ever have the ability to have the same capacity again. So it's huge, it's a huge concern.
Yeah.
The 60 Minutes show was just sort of about that, but we are trying to look for solutions, obviously, in the valley. And, you know, in California, they just passed the groundwater legislation that's going to force the issue finally. For the last 3 years, I've been writing about a group here in Kern County that has been getting together with all the agricultural water districts and cities, or at least trying to get together. They're notoriously, you know, at each other's throats all the time. So it's been a really difficult endeavor. But they've been trying to get together to attack the groundwater issue. And even before that, I don't know if you remember who Tom Clark was, but he died, I think, in 2008 or 9, but he was the head of the Kern County Water Agency, and back in 2005, 2006, he tried to get people together to talk about groundwater. It's a really touchy issue. Everybody knows that our groundwater is subsiding, and you can look at charts for monitoring wells that we have in Kern County, and it shows, you know, obviously, it's kind of like a tennis ball bouncing down the stairs. You know, with good years, you know, the water level will come back up, but it's always on that downward trajectory, like Mr. Famagetti is saying. And so, you know, obviously we need to address this issue. The solutions are, I don't know, Joe, they're so elusive. I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, this is a private property issue and is constitutionally protected in the state, you've also got the fact that some areas of the valley are completely undistricted. They're not in a water district. So they're just like plant and pump. And we've got tons of speculators, you know, from these large companies investing in almonds and pistachios now because they're so valuable, right? Well, they're just going in and they're planting and they're pumping and they're not part of a district. They're not part of bringing more surface water in because that's, you know, that's one of the answers. I mean, the CVP and the State Water Project were built specifically to help the subsidence issue that everybody knew about it from the 30s and 40s, and that's why they were built and they started bringing water in the 60s and 70s. And as we know, endangered species issues from the Delta have reduced those water flows. So people are just, they're really grasping around and trying to figure out what we do. And right now, the group that started here in Kern County a couple of years ago, they're just at the point of trying to get everybody to fess up to how much groundwater they're using, and that's become a big sort of source of contention and trying to figure it all out. And then the other thing we're trying to do that I wrote about in my column is we're trying to figure out, you know, like how much ground is planted in what type of crop and how much water does that do each of those crops take. And what we've determined is since 1980, we've reduced our crop, harvestable crop acreage by 80,000 acres. So, you know, we've reduced what we actually plant and harvest. But we've also doubled our we've converted our row crops into permanent crops, and is that the bigger issue? I mean, it's just there's so many variables here. It's really hard to get a handle on it. In the valley, of course, it's not, you know, golf courses and swimming pools. It's agriculture, and then when you talk about that, you're talking about the economic livelihood of almost the entire valley because it touches so many other industries than just farming. I'm sorry, I'm rambling, so I'll just shut up and let Mr. Famagetti.
That's a very good point, and I want to turn back to Mr. Famagetti. The state passed these three new bills that now laws that will regulate groundwater. How optimistic are you with that solution that's out there right now? Is this a half step, or is it a big change in the way California does business?
Well, I think it's a huge step for California. It's not going to solve all of our problems, and it's going to take a very long time to implement. But the formation of the groundwater sustainability agencies and the groundwater sustainability plans give us an opportunity to look around the state and think more carefully and holistically about joint surface water and groundwater use, and that's going to be very, very critical moving forward. In the short term, you know, we have huge. So in the long term, I think we're on great track, and sure, more things could have been added to that legislation, but it probably wouldn't have passed. So in the long run, I think we're looking good, and I think much will happen that will be very positive. But in the short run, I'm very concerned. You know, for all the reasons that Lois said, and you know, I'm usually the one that depresses people, and often it's because of the graphics that I show. But I think today Lois wins the you know, the most depressing prize. I mean, it's a very, very serious situation. And so, you know, in the short term, I'm quite concerned that we're not going to be able to act quickly enough. And I will say that although the legislation is an important step forward, we just use more water than we have available to us. So that it's just not clear to me that if we want to sustain an agricultural economy, that we will be able to wean ourselves off of the groundwater, mainly because, you know, we've got climate change and just less surface water will be flowing in the future decades. So legislatively, I'm pleased about the future, but, you know, realistically, I'm not sure that California is going to have the water that it needs to maintain the agricultural economy.
And speaking of the short-term impact right now, there's a story in the Modesto Bee today about Stanislaus County residents racing to get well permits before the county implements a new ordinance that has the county considering requiring those outside irrigation districts to offer proof that drilling new wells in their land won't cause undesirable results to groundwater. So they're racing to try to get their wells permitted, at least, before this new law comes in. If a drought like this isn't enough to change attitudes in California about water, what do you think is?
So I'm not sure. I mean, we do what we can. Lois is doing a great job with her writing. You folks are doing a great job on the radio. I'm an educator. I do as much as I can with speaking and with writing and with teaching students. I'm not really sure. We had an interesting discussion yesterday at the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach, and people were really beginning, water managers were really beginning to talk about public service announcements and television ads that follow the very scary cancer smoking, you know, no smoking, that sort of advertising campaign that's a little bit more frightening.
Again, we're talking with Professor Jay Famligetti of UC Irvine. He's one of the leading voices sounding the alarm on California's water situation. He was recently featured on 60 Minutes, while we also have on the line Lois Henry of the Bakersfield Californian with us today. I want to turn back to Professor Famligetti and ask you something about what Lois mentioned and alluded to in regards to the aquifer being depleted. Can it be brought back? Because we hear that the ground compacts and you can't retain that type of water storage after it's been pumped out, but yet we also hear about the potential for groundwater banking. How do you bring those two in alignment?
We need to reconcile that and clear that up. And so the subsidence occurs, so it all depends on the hydrogeology, and the subsidence occurs mainly where there's a lot of clay minerals in the aquifer, and the clay minerals themselves are flat. They're flat shaped, and when you remove water from that part of the aquifer, the clay minerals actually stack up like plates in the sink, and there's just no way to reinflate them to recover that storage. But so the good news is that it's very localized, and so it happens along the Delta Mendota Canal. It's happening in El Neto, which is a new region. There are other parts of the Central Valley that are composed more of more sandy material that doesn't compress and that doesn't experience subsidence. So, you know, Kern County and the Kern Water Bank is a great example of a big sandy aquifer that can be refilled. So it's quite variable, but I don't want to underemphasize the dangers and the damage that, that is associated with the society that occurs. Where it occurs, it's quite significant.
And turning back to Lois Henry, who's with us right now, certainly there are problems with water banking as well, as we've seen in Kern County, and also controversy. But turning back to this idea that this is really an inflection point, that something is going on here, Lois, have you seen attitudes change in Kern County in the time that you've been covering this? You've talked about the authority and people are trying to get on board now. Have attitudes really changed? Have they caught up to where the science is, do you think?
Well, I think that the farmers and the water districts, I think they've known for a very long time that, you know, we've got to do something about groundwater. But, you know, it's just like anything. If you don't have to, you're not going to, because it's such a hard solution to find and to figure out, and you do have to really compromise and work with other people. So this legislation that we've been talking about has really forced the issue, and they may be grumbling about it. And they are. Believe me, the last meeting I went to, you know, a lot of guys in plaid shirts who were not happy people, but they were there, you know, and they were participating, and they were realizing that they have to do this kind of thing. So I think the legislation has, like I said, really forced the issue. And in Kern County, we have had a lot of groundwater banking. So interestingly, the graphic that I was telling you that Mr. Pamlichetti provided me, that showed more the Central Valley than the overall whole of California, the one that 60 Minutes used, the smaller one that was more narrow, it showed that we were all really surprised by it, me and the water guys, because the damage to the groundwater, the depletion of the groundwater over time seemed a lot less in the Southern Valley. And we were all like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, we're huge water hogs. What's going on here? But I think that may be a function of the fact that, you know, we've gone to these permanent crops and we've reduced croppage by 80,000 acres, and we do a lot of groundwater banking. It's not just the Kern water bank that Mr. Pamlichetti mentioned. The city has groundwater banks. Kern County Water Agency has groundwater banks. Individual districts, the semi-tropic district is huge. So that may be a function of why we aren't in such dire straits. And people are, like I said, they are willing to get together and figure it out. And they are actually giving up information that was a little close to the vest before, you know, about how much water they're using and where. And it's going to get even more, you know, sort of invasive with the information, because there are districts that sell water out of the county, out of our groundwater basin, and there's a lot of talk about whether that should ever be allowed again, that maybe we should be, you know, we should look at each region should look at its own resources and really protect those resources rather than sell to the highest bidder, because we all know Los Angeles is going to outbid any local efforts ever. There's been a big, huge controversy about that in Kern County Water Agency, but I don't want to get into the details of it too much right now. But all of these issues are really on the table, and it's uncomfortable for a lot of people because they've never had to answer these questions before, but they are grudgingly starting to answer these questions. So.
We have just a couple minutes left before we go. Mr. Pamlichetti, are there any lessons we can learn from other parts of the world, either good or bad, that you have seen? Because your research with NASA looks at the globe. So what can we learn from other parts of the globe?
Well, there are regions that are quite progressive and proactive about water management and how to deal with groundwater and loss of groundwater. And two examples are Australia and the Middle East, and in particular Israel. So Israel is a pioneer in agricultural and irrigation efficiency, and they do so many things with crop selection, with breeding more drought tolerant crops, with greenhouse agriculture, deep drip irrigation, and on and on. There are great lessons to be learned from Israel, but also from Australia, who, you know, they think about things in a little bit more nationalistic sense. And, you know, being a smaller country with a smaller population, I think helps, because you can come to a consensus on what needs to be done. But one of the things that they've been quite I think adept at is trying to work out how to allocate water amongst important uses that includes environmental use, that includes water for food production, but also for economic growth, for domestic and municipal supplies, and for energy production. So there are some important lessons to be learned from those regions.
We've been talking with UC Irvine Professor Jay Famuletti. He is one of the leading individuals leading the effort to raise awareness about California's water crisis, and Lois Henry of the Bakersfield Californian. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.